This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All right. You are listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. I am, like many of other people, is feeling a little dry today and a little down as a result of the election. And I'll say us losing the election because a lot of people lost. And some of the folks who have lost in this election actually voted against their own interests. So today we're going to touch on some of that today. And I'm going to do my best not to get too emotional. So I am in the studio by myself. Co-hosts are AWOL. Who knows where they're at? I don't know where April's at. I don't know where Clyde is. But the thing about leading things is that when you lead things, you often find yourself alone in that. And I don't mean it from a personal like attack or to make anybody offended, but it is just what it is. And I think that is something we should talk more about. It's like when you lead charges, you have to continue to do the work regardless of who shows up and don't show up. And that's often the plight of Black women in the United States of America. So shout out to all the Black women who ran for office, whether it was U.S. Senate or House of Representatives. We did have some historical wins. So we're going to talk about that as well today. But shout out just for doing the work. Shout out to Dana Pelleban, who ran for Dane County County Exec and who lost to Melissa Agard. But Dana, as a Black woman, had to endure things in this campaign, in her election, her run for County Exec that other people didn't have to endure. And it's just the sad truth about, one, being a woman, two, being a Black woman, and three, being an intelligent Black woman. And also what contributes to how people see us is also how we look and how we, you know, present ourselves also contributes to misogyny, anti-Blackness, and all that other good stuff. So I wouldn't say good stuff, but other stuff that I can't say what I want. So I'm just going to say all that stuff, right? But again, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. So usually we start our show talking about relationships. Today, I also want to give a shout out to my partner, because I was so emotional on Tuesday and so out of it. Thursday, on Wednesday. and I cried a lot. I was venting. I was angry. I was raging a lot. So shout out to him for holding space without question. I snotted everywhere. And the reason, I think, is for a lot of us, and shout out to my staff who we actually closed down our office yesterday. I am the founder and CEO of Urban Triage for folks who are new to listening. And we are a direct service provider servicing mostly vulnerable populations and homeless folks. And my staff just like me, couldn't function yesterday. It was a lot for a lot of reasons, but we shut down our office yesterday. So I just want to give a shout out to my staff who is now back in the office. So if you're looking for services, we're open. But shout out to them for holding it together and just being honest about what they needed as it relates to a mental health day. So what I want to share is that it hurts so bad. And I think it hurts so bad for many Black women across the country who are activists, who were organizing and mobilizing people and who are leaders in our community, who are teachers, people who pride themselves on taking care of their communities and being the first domino to fall. A lot of times we woke up in pain, and I want to acknowledge that pain and hold space for that pain. And it's not the same kind of pain that others may be feeling. And there's not the purpose of me sharing that or saying that is not to compare pain. This isn't Oppression Olympics. This isn't that at all, but just to distinguish what it looks like and may feel like for some of us, not all of us, just some of us. So part of it, one of my staff said it so perfectly yesterday, that it felt like betrayal. It felt like we were betrayed. It's one thing to not agree with a party. Like, you know, we often say that they're the same bird with different wings. I agree. I agree that we exist in this program called The Matrix. And in order to survive it, we have to play the chessboard that that has been given to us. We don't have the power to change things overnight. But if we learn the game, then we get to play chess and be strategic and tactical in that, you know? But so let's get back to the betrayal. So it's one thing to say, I don't support Democrats. It's another thing to say, I don't support Republicans. For me, this wasn't about the party. It was about the character of the folks that were running for the office of presidency. We have Trump, who has been very forthright in what he believes. He has extremist beliefs. He was not ashamed to talk negative about brown or black people. He was very much so outright about supporting police and making sure that they have immunity against any charges against them or for killing people. He's actually encouraged that. And I think that's kind of sad and sick. So the betrayal came for me and a lot of black women because for the fact that black women are often the ones standing on the front line. We're often the ones that's the first domino. And whether we're talking about civil rights movements or human rights movements or taking on leadership, taking on extra responsibility in our community and other vulnerable communities, that's us. So the betrayal came when we decided as America that we rather elect someone who has over 30 felonies. We rather elect someone who has said things like we're going to be sure to end climate control initiatives and that environmental justice and the whole movement for clean air and less emissions in our air and all of that is a hoax. And he's going to remove money from those initiatives. And it's just so much, y'all. I don't even know what to say, but I just say that if it feels like betrayal because so many women voted for him. So many women voted against their own rights and the right to really have autonomy over our bodies. I see myself as a moderate. I'm kind of in the middle. There are some things that I believe that Democrats don't do well, haven't done well. But for me, it wasn't about a party. It was about character. And also she is a black woman. And a lot of people were saying like somebody had quoted, came on my Facebook and said, I'm surprised that you supported her. And just so you know, you are listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And they were saying that they were surprised that I supported her because I'm so pro-black and she wasn't black, which was weird because I also supported Obama, who's also biracial. I don't know. I don't want to get into this race thing with people, but I felt betrayed because oftentimes we talk about black and brown. We use things like black and brown people, people of color, POCs. We're in this together. And what the election showed is that we're not in this together. And it's not a black and brown thing. It's a black thing. And what made me feel really sad is the people that continue to show up in our communities and black people specifically who push this idea of black and brown. It's not black and brown. And I hope one of the things that we do as people known as black is I hope this initiates more desire to form alliances, more desires to form collaborations and cooperations and develop our own goals and strategic ways of achieving those goals in our community. And this is not to say that we should hate anyone. I think that's what this election has brought out, a whole lot of anger and a whole lot of, I don't know, it's just created this kind of energy And I'm not going to support that energy. I myself have been demonstrating some of that energy because I'm like, dude, you don't get to be in my network when you don't support Black women. And you don't get to be in my network when you say things that are offensive, not just to Black women, but to women and to the well-being of our communities and my mother and our LGBTQIA communities. No, you don't get to be in my network. And that also is kind of conducive of the, I don't have the words, but it's conducive of this separation of communities and how we're moving further apart. And this election has really created that. And also as people who are fighting for justice, equity, and who are on the front lines serving vulnerable populations, I don't know yet if I have the capacity to hold space for people who couldn't center those who was most vulnerable. I just can't at this time. Maybe in 6 months I can come back and revisit and put my namaste hat on and do some soul searching. But right now I just don't have the capacity. And for Black women and other folks who are feeling the same betrayal and hurt, I'm going to encourage you to protect your peace, take care of yourself right now, and remove people, whether it's from social media or for your life, even if it's temporarily, because at the end of the day, this stuff can cause a lot of anxiety, depression, a whole lot of mixture of feelings. So I encourage everybody to take care of themselves. So the betrayal, the hurt, and the misogyny. Recently, I have experienced so much misogyny in the work, and misogynoir in the work of being a CEO of a nonprofit organization, anti-Blackness by Black women, Blackness by Black men has been so profound. And I don't know if it was because of Kamala running for president, which kind of kicked up these unhidden emotions and feelings. But a lot of us got the bulk of that. And it hurt because I thought if we could get this win, then what's been occurring, we have the opportunity to change the script and the story. And it was this sense of hope when she was running for office. I was hopeful, and that hope fueled a lot of my passion and my work. And when that hope, when we were slapped in the face and was like, no, Black woman, we're not ready to have a Black woman lead the United States of America. And we actually would rather have this man who is against Affordable Act care, against health care, against Social Security, against all the things that support those who are most vulnerable. And I just it's just not making sense to me that we did this. But it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. And some people are saying, well, why are you surprised? I'm surprised because I expected more from brown people. I expected more from brown women. I expected more from Black men. I even expected more from white women. And that's my bad. So we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back. I want to share some of the I just want to share what Trump is about to do and encourage people to prepare. And we'll get back. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a minute. You're listening to 92.7 FM, The Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson. Might be too fine to hit it from behind. Reflection
in the mirror, don't decline. I can't even lie. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Okay, y'all, I am back. Your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You're listening to The Black Conversion Show. Prior to the break, I was just talking about the impact of the election on Black women, the hurt, the betrayal on women, period. Before we talk more about the election, I want to give a quick civic overview of how our government works and operates, because I think that'll be helpful in understanding what's to come for the American people under the leadership of Trump and whoever his people is. I don't even know what to call them. So as most people know, that the Constitution of America establishes three branches of government. We have our legislative branch. They make laws, and that is our Congress, right? And that is composed of the House of Representatives and the Senate. And our Senate is now Republican. So that turned red. The president is red in terms of, you know, being a Republican. And not only did our Senate turn red, read with folks who support Trump, and we'll talk a little bit more about what that means. And then we have our the executive branch, which carries out the laws. That's the president, the vice president, the cabinets, and most federal agencies like the FBI, the CIA, the FDA folks, any federal agents that's under that branch of government as well. Then we have our judicial branch, our courts, our Supreme Courts and other courts throughout, you know, the country. So as you guys may know or may not know, the president can veto legislation created by the Congress, which creates kind of this check and balance, right? And the president nominates heads of federal agencies. So one of the things that Trump has committed to doing is appointing your boy Elon Musk to one of some administration role. We don't know what it is. We also know that Elon Musk, after Trump's election, is richer than he was prior to his election. His stocks have went up. Tesla has went up. He also is likely to gain contracts of secret satellites. That's one of the things that he does in this SpaceX thing that he's created for people to go out into space. And mind you, Elon Musk is one of the richest men. Luke, is he the richest man in the world? Or one of the richest men in the world?
I think he's up there as one of the richest
men. Like $290 billion rich. And he gave millions of way to Trump's campaign. And not only did he give millions to his campaign, he gave millions of way for people to vote for Trump. So the question now is, that was that legal? And of course it wasn't legal. But when you're a billion-dollar man, $290 billion approximately, who's going to stop you, right? Everybody's paid off. I mean, it's a capitalistic fascist system, right? Everybody's paid off. So anyway, he paid people to vote for Trump. So anyway, back to the conversation. The president vetoes stuff coming from Congress. He has the power to do that. And he appoints federal agencies, leads of federal agencies. And he also has the power who appoints Supreme Court folks? Is it the president? It is the president.
It's the president, yep.
Yeah, so he appoints folks to the Supreme Court. And then what happens is Congress, again, made up of the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate, can confirm or reject the president's nominees and can remove the president from office under exceptional circumstances, right? So that's the power of the Congress, U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. However, if the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate is filled with people as extreme as Trump, do you really think that they're going to reject anything that he says? No. And do you think that he's going to have to veto anything that they're creating? No. They're the same person, inevitable. Like there's no diversity in thought because everyone's led right now, except for the U.S. House of Representatives. We still have a little hope there, right? But it could end up where we're screwed. So the check and balance that we normally would have by the branches of government will be gone, right? So that's important to understand. And when we say that Project 2025, he will not be able to do some of those things because of the check and balances, it's kind of out the door. So anyway, the Supreme Court, who can overturn unconstitutional laws, are nominated and confirmed by the president and the Senate, like we just said. Each branch of government is responsible for kind of like laws, but the purpose is to create this check and balance. So I just wanted to do a little quick teaching, because when we say that it's no big deal or it's not going to affect your life, and I don't know why people are so emotional about it, you're lying to yourself. Again, this is a Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest. And I say you're lying to yourself because one of the things that he is dead on doing is removing the U.S. Department of Education. So for folks who don't know, the U.S. Department of Education does a lot for children, especially children who are, let's just say, special needs children and poor children. Like their job is to make sure that everybody has access education. That's their job. And that everybody, folks who have additional needs, get their needs met. So there's a lot of laws that come out of this department in sense, or not a lot of laws, but like regulations. So one of the things that come out of this department is IEP stuff. So if your kid is a special needs student or have a 504 plan, the U.S. department kind of governs that. And one of the things that's required through this department and rules and some laws that come through this process, right, is that if your child has an IEP and that IEP says they need A, B, and C for support in school, your school by law has to provide those supports. Now, if you remove the U.S. Department of Education, your kids were more likely, and children who are needing supports will lose those supports. In addition, the U.S. Department of Education also, I believe, Luke, am I wrong? They also do like student loans and control like Pell Grants and financial aid for college. Folks who depend on financial aid will be screwed. I don't think we understand this. I don't think we get it. So if you're planning, if you're going in nursing school, because I had a conversation with someone, I won't say the name. They're like, I'm not voting. And they're young. A lot of people didn't show up. I think, Luke, you said 20 million people did not show up to the polls this year.
That's the rough estimate right now. But there's still votes being counted around the country, especially the out west. There's several states that do by mail voting. So like everybody gets mailed a ballot. And it takes some time because in one part, it makes it so more people have the ability to vote because a ballot comes to your door and you can just return it in the mail. But you then have to deal with postmarks by election day and things like that. So California, I don't think in 2020, California didn't have all of their like mail-in ballots, which can be, as long as they're postmarked by election day, can be counted days later. And I think it took like 2 weeks to count all of California's votes last time. So it could be that we're waiting for the next
for
2 weeks
votes to come in,
to see all those votes come in. But right now the estimates say anywhere from 15 to 20 million people that voted in 2020
didn't vote
in 2024.
Yeah, and I think that's super sad. And it's because I don't think people understood the impact of what we're facing right now. And the U.S. Department of Education is one of it. So another thing that they do is they do research and data collection, right? So they do all the research, collect data on trends and identify best practices, identify gaps in education, gaps in resources, money, all of that. They also share information about education with Congress, educators, and the public. You won't have that. They also enforce civil rights laws. So they work to ensure that all students, like I said, have access to education. Who do you think that's going to affect the most? Poor black people, brown people. How many brown women voted for Republican? I think it was like 38%. Your children will be impacted by this, because it's funny because the Latinos who came out and voted for Trump, y'all act like he got your back. It's the most sick I've ever seen. I just can't with y'all. But we're going to continue the conversation about what this means and the impact on brown people who voted for their enemy. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right. Your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, is back in the house on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. Prior to the break, we were talking about the impact of the U.S. Department of Education being shut down by Trump and how it is very possible that is possible under his presidential leadership, and because of the way the branches of government operate. And as prior to break, we were talking about the Senate being red and full of his people, executive branch being red and him, and he's red, and he's going to appoint all these people who support him, and then the Supreme Court being appointed by him, and they're already red like him, so we're in trouble. We no longer have a check and balance system. One of the things that Trump has been very clear about is that he's going to remove all dissent from administration and federal agencies and federal government. And what that means is if you don't agree with him, you got to go. If you ain't falling in line, you got to go. He also has committed to pardoning, is that how you say it? Pardoning. All the folks who were charged and arrested in the Capitol riot or takeover. What do we call that, Luke?
The insurrection.
He said, look, these was my white supremacist people. I support them. Yeah, police died. Yeah, it's no big deal. Yeah, people died. It's okay. But they're going to get off. That's what Trump is saying. Also, let's really talk about not only the U.S. Department, but let's talk about what it means to have a president who's going to increase import taxes by 20%. That is his goal. And what economists is saying is that if this happens, there will be no more cut. We will not be able to afford to cut like mortgage interest rates. It was projected before Trump election that interest rates would go down, but after his election, they're not. Today, they're supposed to roll out interest rates, I think. So we'll see what happens. But they're projected now to go up. So folks who are looking to buy a house or refinance your home, good luck with that under Trump's administration. He also said that he would make sure that the mortgage rates went down, but that's actually not in his power. It's a lot of factors that lead to interest rates. But one of them is what's happening in our world. And if Trump gets the 20% tax increase on imports, that means folks who run small businesses will not be able to afford their products. So I'm talking about Black people who now, Crystal Store, I can only think about the people that I love locally, your products will be affected. People who buy shea butter and develop different products, all of that stuff comes from overseas, y'all. It's China, is everything's foreign. Everything the U.S. is built on is foreign, which means that you won't be able to afford it, which means that we'll have less supplies in our country and access. So that means if the supplies are low, the demands are high, which means that prices will go up. And the people that will not be able to afford it is poor people, vulnerable people. Our elder people will not be able to afford their medication, will not be able to afford the things they need for health care or simple things like shoes. Everything is projected to go up. This is personal. That's what I say. It's personal. So businesses will shut down because you won't be able to afford the cost of running your business with a 20% tax. The people who are most impacted are the consumers. It's us. that's one of the things he's going to do. So get prepared for that. And then rolling back climate initiatives. I said that before. So one of the things I want you guys to understand is that he said that he's going to get rid of protesters and journalists and other people that fought against him. And if he has to use military or violence, he's going to do that. So get prepared for all that good stuff. He also plans to fire people within, you know, bureaucrats and career politicians that are not loyalists. The only folks that would be allowed in around administrations around him. And remember, he appoints them because that's in his power to do that, would be loyalists, people who believe in what he's talking about. He also has indicated he will use the government to target enemies, and he will he will develop a special prosecutor team to go after Joe Biden and his family. He has suggested that the former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney should have guns trained in her, in her face, and that he about to come and get them all. So that's crazy that we support this kind of, I don't even know what to call it, Luke. It's like, I feel like I'm in a cartoon and people across the world is laughing at us right now. And on healthcare, let's just get clear here. So on healthcare, Trump has said that he will let Robert F. Kennedy Jr. First of all, Luke, am I wrong? Didn't he run on an independent slate?
You're correct.
So I just want y'all to just realize, like, there's people who voted for this guy and just took away points in the election. And yes, it sucks that we're two-bird, like, two-wing country. But think of, I think it was strategic because people, Democrats and other folks said, hey, Kennedy, drop out. Like, you're going to cost votes. That's unnecessary because you have no chance in heck to win. But he didn't. And then after elections, he's going to go work for Trump in healthcare and run the healthcare. Come on, y'all. Y'all don't see something off with this? Okay, but anyway, maybe it's just me. So he's going to choose them, him, to run the federal healthcare agencies. And he's also going to overhaul the federal Affordable Care Act. So I want you guys to know something. When Trump was in office last time, he also did some overhaul of the Federal Health Care Act. And one of the people that were, group of people that was most impacted was poor rural people and folks who had husbands and partners who worked in the coal mines. Because one of the things that was covered under the Affordable Act Care was payments for people who were working the mines, like a stipend, like saying, you know, we know you suffered health issues and things like that. And rural folks voted against it and voted for whatever that amendment. I cannot remember the details, but they voted for it and then they lost payments and stipends. And then they were crying because they was like, I didn't understand that this is what I was voting against. Again, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And another thing you have to understand in that I am so disgusted by Latino voters who voted for Trump is that he has pledged to build cages along the border to capture children and to capture families. And it will happen. I'm sure it will happen. And he also has pledged to keep legal immigrants out of America, like legal ones, folks who come over to work seasonal for companies. He has pledged to keep them out of America as well. So we have brown people who thought that it was more important because they said the problem is with some of them said, not this is general ideas and conversation. This is not everybody. I haven't taken a poll, but generally people are coming back and saying they voted for Trump because they wanted a stronger economy and they wanted stricter immigration laws and rules. Actually, I agree with all of that. I, too, want a stronger economy, and I, too, think we need better immigration laws and rules. But what I don't agree with is caging people. What I do not agree with is separating families like we did a few years ago. I don't agree with that. It's inhumane. It's violent. It reminds me of slavery. It's the foundation of colonization. And for people who are brown to support it is like disgusting. And for people who are black to support it is disgusting. It's just disgusting. For women to support it is disgusting. Because the thing about it is when things happen to one population, just say they're deporting brown people, right? They're putting them in cages, which he's going to do. Who do you think is going, what's going to be most impacted? It's going to be our services. Like, I don't know if you guys know, like, we need folks. Like, we need these folks. Like, they actually support our economy. They actually support our whole system. We're talking about essential workers. We're talking about people that I hire to do work in my house, to do all kind of stuff. Like, and they're humans. And the fact that we will all go along with it is disgusting. And it feels like we're in the Hunger Games. And that's exactly what he's looking to do, is creating this extreme version of America where it's only the rich and then only the poor, because middle class people are going to be affected by this big time. So if you make between, I'm not going to give out an amount, but if you are middle class and you're living okay right now, you can pay your bills, you can pay your health care, all of that stuff is about to be impacted, and specifically the rural people that voted for him. And I don't know if you guys are aware that people with education voted Democratic. People who were undereducated, no college degree, they voted for Trump. Luke, why do you think that is?
I think it's for there's a lot to that question. Mm-hmm. I do think the largest divide is, when it comes to talking about the education demographics, mm-hmm. is how people with a college degree consume and receive information, and how people who have not gone beyond high school mm-hmm. get their news and information.
Yeah.
I think it is information ecosystems. And a lot of people, unfortunately, rely on social media.
Yeah.
Beyond, like, and that spans across education levels.
Yeah, yeah.
But there is a certain degree of news and content that you consume on social media platforms mm-hmm. compared to articles in newspapers mm-hmm. and magazines, like the way that those two subgroups consume information is drastically different, and mm-hmm. it's changed
yep.
so much since the pandemic. And so I think that's kind of that offshoot from the different levels of education and how they ended up voting in this election, because mm-hmm. if you're getting very little information, but you're being pinched by prices going up, because prices did go up mm-hmm. around the country and around the world. And if that was your biggest concern,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump saying, I'm going to lower prices, and that's all you're seeing.
And you believe it.
That's what you then take to, yeah. to the polling booth with
yeah.
you. But if you're consuming information and you see that on these national trends that inflation around the world is bad and the U.S. is doing better than
yep.
other developed nations, that really corporations mm-hmm. are running away with those higher prices mm-hmm. because you see corporate profits at the highest that they've ever been.
Yes.
You put those things together and you see, oh, I don't think it's Joe Biden's infrastructure bill
right.
that made prices go up. It looks like corporations are really taking consumers and bending them over a barrel.
Yes.
And so
literally.
I think that is kind of the bigger thing that stems from those two things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge part of where we got to go forward is how do we talk to people that are just tuning out the news?
Yeah, that's good. Thank you for Luke. I'm so glad I asked you that question, Luke.
It's been something I've been pondering for the last
several
days. That
was good, though, because it's true. It's how we consume information. Like, inflation is going to go crazy here next year if these taxes happen on import. Like, we're screwed. Y'all thought y'all was screwed? You thought that he was... You would think a liar would tell you the truth about, like, how he's... This is crazy. Okay, Luke, you're right on point. One of the things also I wanted to point out in this conversation, again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. Another thing I wanted to point out is the vote by race. One of the things that hurt my heart is the way that Black people showed up. Now, I know 97 or 90-something percent of Black women showed up. 78-something Black men showed up. Kudos to y'all. I love y'all. Thank you for showing out and voting for us and folks who are most vulnerable. And there's another piece that's not part of the conversation that people are confused about. Some of our swing states, we didn't show up enough, right? So we look at the big number and we say 97% of Black women showed up. Great. But when you break it down by states and we look at Black people in, let's just say, Georgia. Now, we know that there's I thought Black people were going to come out and vote at like 95%. And I believe we lost Georgia by how much was the percentage?
Well, I don't know what the final numbers
ended up being
was,
like,
but it was
47 to yeah. like 51 or yeah. something like that. And so for Black people in Georgia, 86% of folks came out and voted. And in some of those counties that was swung it over Democratic, those counties, Black men in rural areas voted Republican. And again, we're talking about education. We're talking about how people consume information, but it hurt us, and it hurt us big time. We also want to talk about how white women showed up. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. I just want to talk about y'all white women. I want to have the conversation. I will not call you a Karen today because you reported me to Civic Media last time I used that word, but we're going to talk about you anyway today. So stay tuned so I can break that down. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right. It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. Okay, so, yeah, prior to the break, we were just talking about how the exit polls came in after election and who voted how and why and all that good stuff. And my disappointment with brown people is so disappointing and disheartening. And I don't know, I'm just going to leave that there. Also disappointed in white women. I don't even know why I'm disappointed in white women, but it was disappointing to see the numbers come in with so many voting for Trump, given how he hates women and how he basically said he's going to make women do what he thinks they should do. And we're like, okay, okay. Y'all white women's like, okay, because I'd rather have you do that, Trump, than to have a black woman lead our country. And can we just be honest about how smart Kamala is and her degrees and her education and her ability to articulate and her plans for vulnerable people? And can we just talk about how dumb Trump is and how he can't even articulate a full sentence? He's like, I feel like when he talks, he's like a fourth or fifth grader. And those are the folks who voted for him, people with fourth or fifth grade education. And I'm not saying y'all wrong and I'm not trying to judge you, but I think people need to start reading, like, because y'all over here, I posted the other day like this. I always wondered how people failed an open book test. And this is why. Like, and it makes sense with the elections. Like, everything was out there. We had Project 2025. All of his people that wrote that is now going to be appointed to agencies and in his administration. And then we're like, no, he's not going to do that. You sound crazy. And we have all these branches of government that will be led by his loyalists. Like, what? Y'all not getting it, but y'all don't, like my grandma used to say, you don't believe fat meat is greasy. And now you're about to find out. You're going to find out today. You're going to find out next year when inflation is at highest level ever. And then you're going to find out when this man is basically going to use the branches of government to become a dictator. Because one of the things he said is, you ain't got to worry about elections no more because I'm about to change it all. Which means, like, what that mean, Trump? Because Luke, tell me if I'm wrong. So, if he has loyalists, that Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court gets the ultimate interpretation of constitutional law, they could change the law, right? For the branches of government and how they function and operate, like terms?
It would be very easy for Congress, if Congress is all led by Republican and Trump supporters, because there's very few Republicans that don't support Trump anymore.
That, like, way, that part.
The Republican Party is the party of Trump. Anybody that disagreed with him has either retired or been, they lost primaries. Mm-hmm. And so if Congress passes something that says, hey, we're going to change it so this can happen, and it's against something that's currently in the Constitution, mm-hmm. It will obviously face legal battles, right. And then it comes before the Supreme Court. Supreme Court will say, no, we're going to side with this.
We're going to side with them because he appointed me. Like, there's no check and balances, y'all. Like, y'all, that's what I'm saying. You're not getting it. People aren't thinking. They're not getting it. And I just want to slap. It almost makes me violent, right? And I'm not a violent person. I usually communicate with my mouth and all that good stuff. But it just makes me want to, like, slap people awake. You know how people get in shock and just wake them? So you got to slap them? Like, girl, wake up. Like, you're not hearing me. You're not following what's about to occur. So I just wanted to say that. Like, this, we in trouble, America. Like, we are in trouble unless we have an act of God that comes through. And hopefully the U.S. House of Representatives, like I said, isn't taken over by his loyalists, because anything is possible at that point. U.S. Constitution, all of that. So when people are saying, like, I don't know, I'm so mad at y'all. I don't even know what else to say. I'm so mad. I'm so disgusted. I'm so disappointed. Not that my feelings matter to the folks who voted for Trump, but I just feel like in 2 years, people that voted for Trump is going to be calling me, asking me for help, trying to figure out how to help you with your light bill and MG&E. All that's about to go up. Trying to figure out how you're going to get food, because all of that is about to go up. You thought eggs was expensive? Girl, now they're going to put taxes on the import on the crates, because we don't make nothing here. So we ain't even going to be able to buy eggs the same. Y'all, milk, none of that. Y'all in trouble. Y'all in trouble. Don't call me. Call Trump, okay? Because don't call me. Call your mama. Don't call me. Anyway, I also wanted to celebrate. Again, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I also wanted to celebrate a couple wins for Black women. So if you did not know, there was a couple historic wins. I believe we had the most Black women appointed to Senate. Is that right? I think it doubled from 2 to 4, which is huge.
No, there's never been 2 Black women to serve in the U.S. Senate
at the same time.
Mm. And now this upcoming year, it'll be the first time.
Oh, so, look at us.
U.S. Senators from Maryland and I believe Delaware, but I could be incorrect. There's been a lot of news stories, and so I may be mixing up the two states, but both of those states, I believe, sent black women to the U.S. Senate, and it will be the first time ever that two black women will be serving, because Kamala Harris served in the U.S. Senate, and I believe
it was Delaware. Yeah,
was it Delaware?
Delaware and Maryland.
So, and now this, I think they are only though the third and fourth U.S. senators to be black women. Mm-hmm. So it is only they are the third and fourth in U.S. history to serve in that role.
So that's exciting. So let's not let that get lost. And also, we had the first transgender person also elected to Senate. Was it the Senate?
Congress.
Was it Senate or House of Representatives?
The House of Representatives. So yeah, a congressperson, I believe, from Rhode Island.
I think her name is Sarah McBride.
Yes, that sounds correct.
At-large House race, making her the first openly transgender person elected to Congress. So congratulations to y'all. What, Delaware, y'all progressive? What is happening? I'm about to move to Delaware. I ain't even thought about Delaware, but I don't know. After elections, maybe Wisconsin is not. Well, we already knew Wisconsin was not the place for black people. It is kind of the worst state to live in if you're black. And don't be black and black woman. Don't be black woman and dark-skinned. And don't be black and black woman, dark-skinned, and smart. Because, boy, do people hate smart black people. Now, if you are a mediocre, or not to say that it's not okay to be mediocre, I know I offend people, but it's just what it is, right? So if you're average or below average or can't put your sentence together or can't articulate things, you can make a pretty presentation, and white people in Wisconsin, Dane County specifically, will love you and appreciate you. If you just happen to be a black woman that's strong led, do the work, get it done, and you know, all that stuff, they will hate you. They will troll you. Yeah, I was kind of talking about myself on that. But, you know, Dana also experienced that, and other black women are experiencing that. It just sucks that we actually don't want to center the humanity of people, and we rather continue to support paternalism, dictatorship, patriarchy, misogyny, and the control and domination of other people's bodies. It's sick. And sending love to all of our LGBTQIA community, because it's about to go down as we talk about laws and things. This is not okay. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. Luke, if you can give us the sound bite, I just want y'all to know I love y'all. Sending prayers. Black women, take care of yourself. Protect your peace. I'm out. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM.
Don't you ever listen when anyone tells you something is impossible because it has never been done before.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.